Podcasting 2.0 for July 23rd, 2021, episode 47. We got a Mongo in the Congo. Yeah! Come on in, everybody. It's time once again for your weekly board meeting right here, Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on at podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social, your namespace, your index, your board meeting. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, our man representing at Podcast Movement, my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Hello, comrade.
Yes, hello, comrade.
It's all for you. We're giving it away. We're all socialists now.
That's correct. It's exactly what's going on.
Did anybody make coffee, or is that from last week's board meeting? Because that thing looks...
No. I'd take the one on the left. You definitely don't want that one. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm doing good. I am recovering from a pretty weird week. I mean, somebody ran into... We have a retaining wall in the front of our house.
Well, you're on that street, I think, right? The busy street?
Yeah, it's really busy. Uh-huh. So somebody evidently just backed into our retaining wall and knocked a big chunk of it down. There's crap laying everywhere, like bricks.
And he didn't leave a note?
No. So we have no idea who did it.
A truck probably wouldn't even know it.
Yeah. So now we have we gotta clean it up and all that stuff. And we have a rooster crowing in our backyard. We got chickens a few weeks, about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And now we're waking up every morning to the rooster. So one of them's a rooster and he's crowing.
So it feels just like Miami.
It does. It's like deja vu, man.
What time does he wake up, said rooster?
Typically right now about 7:30.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's all right.
No, that's it's doable. Not too bad. That's doable. But he's got to go, though.
He has to go.
Going to freezer. He's going to freezer camp.
So. Can you eat a rooster? I guess so, huh?
Oh, you can eat anything, Adam.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks, Mr. Alabama. I know that about you.
Little,
squirrel.
A little gamey.
Yeah. Hey, man, just before the show started, something really amazing popped up. Has Castapod been fixed on the import?
I don't know. I'm going to try it out, though.
I'm getting excited. I'm trying to temper myself.
I feel like Ben would not have put that in the change log unless he was really confident in it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, but I agree.
That's a bold statement. His import is fixed. I'm going to say, okay, all right, we're going to take this.
Oh, man, I so hope so. It's interesting. I got an email from Darren O'Neill.
Okay.
And he said, I was looking at the RSS feed for No Agenda and Podcasting 2.0. Are you aware there's no value block in your feed? And I thought, wow, that's interesting because Darren is a very smart guy. Mm-hmm. How poorly we've communicated what's going on and how this works.
That may be the theme of the show today is our poor communication.
Yeah. Well, we have taken steps to start to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a... what sometimes happens, we get so wrapped in everything and we're wrapped up and we're moving forward and we're steaming ahead. And then something that's already working, okay, that's fine. It is. And we don't go back and explain it. And I think it's worth just saying for a moment that the basic building blocks of Podcast Index is the podcast namespace. So that's what we're calling Podcasting 2.0. And all of the individual tags that are... enhancements to the traditional, to the RSS spec and feed as we know it. And because not a single hosting company, as far as I know, provides a way for you to put that into your feed, the value block. And we knew that would either take a long time and maybe never happen. We created the shim at podcastindex.org, which is where we store all the information of all, 4 million plus feeds. And the cool thing about the index is that anyone with some skills can create an app without having to do all the heavy lifting. And they get all of that information from the index and in comes the value block, even if it's not in the feed. We add that in in addition to what the apps are pulling out of that. However, if you put the value block in your RSS feed, that's always considered the source of truth. And so that will override anything that's in there. It's also in future, if you change it, if you change your value block, then that will change all the way through the index as well. We foresee that few hosting companies will do this for any number of reasons. No one's given any, but I can think of a few. So that's why we maintain that part to really, it's just glue. It's just a piece of glue, but you can override that at any point.
Yeah. And it works. It works fine right now because all of the value enabled apps, all the apps that are providing streaming Lightning payments for listening, they're all using us anyway. So there's no disconnect there.
Right.
So they can get, and this, this will, this all works by having the index temporarily house all this information, and the temporary is in quotes because we don't know how long it's going to last, but, you know, temporarily housing all that information. I've got a couple of, so that's how we can get away with not having it in our feed.
Right. And although with Castapod, I hope to be able to author the most badass feeds.
Oh yeah.
That anyone's that's ever seen.
It's on their feature list.
Badass. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what that is in French. Hold on. That's something derrière. Let me see.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the whole point of Castapod is to get the world of podcasting speaking French.
So that's true.
We might as well help them here. That would be Dur à cuire. Gee.
They've already got Canada, but that just doesn't count.
Dur à cuire. Hold on. I'm practicing. Dur à cuire. Dur à cuire. Badass. Somehow like badass it. Sounds better.
It does.
Dur à cuire. Badass. I don't know. It's just, maybe just me.
I like it. It's not hard to sound angry in French. That comes pretty. I mean,
it's part of the culture.
Yeah,
they get angry, and they're not really angry. They're just emotional, like Italians a bit. They can also be that way.
Oh, do you want to hit some clips right off the bat?
Sure. Sure.
Something that may be apropos.
Okay.
There's a couple of clips in here from the Mere Mortals podcast.
Yeah.
And I also want to play something from Jack Dorsey here.
Okay.
So, Mere Mortals, a couple of pretty cool Australian dudes.
Yeah.
It sounds like. I'm assuming they're Australian. I'm assuming they live in Australia.
Yeah.
But their podcast, they had a whole episode recently on Podcasting 2.0.
No way. That's cool.
Yes,
we need, you know what? Go figure. We need more of that.
Yes, we do. So why don't you just hit Mere Mortals 1?
Do you know what Podcasting 2.0 is? Have you heard of this term?
Podcasting 2.0? No, yeah. I have okay. not. What?
So this is a term.
What kind of bullshit is this?
Yay! Yay for the communication strategy.
Yeah. It's working beautifully.
As planned.
Yes.
On point.
the whole point of this episode was, they're great guys, and they've actually they figured it out at this point. But like one of the whole themes of this episode where they're talking about it is trying to figure out how to make it all work. And it's sort of painful to listen.
God bless them. Oh, God bless them for that. Yeah, I can understand it's painful.
Yeah, because they sound like guys that have a little bit of knowledge of cryptocurrency, sort of some tangent, you know, like some, I don't know, whatever you call that, sort of surfacey type knowledge.
Tangential?
Yeah, but I don't think that's the right word.
Okay.
But I think they have some cursory. That's the word I was looking for.
Yes, gotcha.
Cursory knowledge of crypto and Lightning and Bitcoin and all this kind of stuff. They just kind of know what it is, but they don't know how any of it works. And so when they got in and tried to actually do this on hooking up with Satoshi's.stream and that kind of thing, they finally got that part working. But then they're like, okay, well, let's go and listen to some podcasts and stream money back to these podcasts we just set up.
Oh, okay,
and
cool.
Then it was like,
It was like an aha moment. Oh, cool.
No, not an aha moment.
They didn't get it. They didn't
the
get
opposite.
To it. Oh no.
They were like, this stuff does not work.
Oh crap. Oh crap.
Like, we tried and tried and tried and could not get it to work. And I wonder how much of this has to do with them being in Australia. And I don't mean that as a slant.
Everything. That sounded worse. Everything. Penal colony.
Okay. Let me rephrase that a little bit.
Nuclear testing wasteland.
Let's see. Play Mere Mortals 3.
How much do we actually have? We have 0 Satoshis in our account for nice. Both of them. For
0 Satoshis.
Both the Mere Mortals and the Mere Mortals Bulk Review.
Just so folks know, 100 million Satoshis makes a Bitcoin. So we've got shit all.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
You know, 0 is better than -1.
Are they recording this outside on the street? Or what? It's an interesting vibe I have in the background there.
Australia just sounds like that. You can't get rid of it. It's like the background radiation of Australia. It infects every podcast. But anyway, they're really struggling with trying to figure out how to send sats.
First of all, I love their attitude. So they have a podcast app that is compatible, that has that understands value for value, and they have 0 mm-hmm. Satoshis. Mm-hmm. That's their starting point. Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, they set up their Mere Mortals podcast to receive Satoshis using Satoshi.stream.
Okay.
And that's what has 0 in the balance.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So, but they sent us a boostage.
Yeah.
They sent us one of those. And so they've evidently figured out how to get some sats going
mm-hmm.
at some point, evidently after this episode. So something worked. But I guess the whole point is we've really, I think what we're doing, especially with the new website that's coming, is the on-ramps for the podcaster side are now pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have, you know, you got Satoshis.stream. You can fire up a Voltage node, which can be hairy at times. But Satoshis.stream is dead simple. The system that we're trying to build on LMPay is going to be very simple. So those two onboard ramps they're custodial, so they're really simple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the listener side, that part is harder than it should be, and it's not been explained well.
Correct.
Do you agree?
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, it's never been explained, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's places where we've written stuff and... But is it clear? Is there a path? Is there a funky ass video with someone explaining what's going on? No.
Yeah. No. So I would like to explain it from start to finish, and you can critique me and tell me if
you're doing your podcast movement pitch. I like it. I like it. Yeah. I'm all in on this. Yes, Dave is representing us at Podcast Movement.
Okay, you're going to be very, if that's your, if you're going into it that way, you're going to be very depressed when I get finished with this.
Well, so, can I just be podcaster who, what level podcaster am I? And I can do that. I can ask the right questions.
You're the Mere Mortals guys.
Well, these guys are smart, but they have a good attitude. So they're not like, this sucks. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I have a good attitude as well. All right. Okay.
Let's see. You are Dame Jennifer. That's who you are.
Dame Jennifer knows this stuff forwards and backwards. What are you talking about?
I didn't think she knew anything about Bitcoin.
Oh, you're going to explain Bitcoin?
No, not going to. Okay, all right. You are, you can't be that guy. Because he knows too much.
Just give me the pitch. I know what you're doing. Don't worry about me.
Okay. I got it. You are my wife. She knows 0 about this. All right. So the pit here's, I'm going to tell you, how I do it. And then I'm just going to explain it to you. And then you can see what happens. The first thing I do is fire up this as, let's see, what am I going to use? I'm going to use Podfriend. Fire up Podfriend, tap on wallet. It's going to ask you if you want to enable the wallet. You're going to say, yeah. And then it's going to ask you how many sats you want to deposit. Now, a sat is a piece of a Bitcoin, 100 millionth of a Bitcoin.
What's that in real money?
10,000 sats is like $3.
Okay.
So let's just, so they say you want to put $3 in there. So hit the 10,000 sats, and it's going to pop up a QR code. Now, at this point, what I do is you have to, that's an invoice and you have to pay it. So in order to get those sats into PodFriend, you have to go and pay it from where your sats are.
I just want to stop you there for a second. This is a moment that we all should realize. The term invoice usually means the money is leaving you to a vendor. So that has, but no, seriously, we had this problem with subscriptions early in podcasts. Yeah. People are like, oh, it costs money? No, it's just a subscription. What's wrong with you? So
this is falling apart already.
No. This, but I'm refining. I'm refining.
All right.
And so maybe you say this is an invoice, and the way you pay each other on the Lightning Network is, and how you transfer money. Maybe that's a better term. The way you transfer money, either from to someone else or to yourself, is through this invoicing system. How about that?
Okay, then you have to explain Lightning Network, because they're going to say, "What's Lightning Network?"
Well, what's okay? All right, I'll be quiet. I'm taking a backseat.
Well, okay, so assuming that you have some Bitcoin somewhere, okay, you will need to pay that into your new wallet here in the podcast app so that app can then stream those Satoshis, sats, the 100 millionths of a Bitcoin, can stream those little bits of Bitcoin back to the podcaster. So this QR code is how, where you have your sats, is going to be able to know where to send them, which is your podcast wallet that you just created. So the way I do it is I do it with Strike. That's an app where you can buy Bitcoin with a debit card. And so I'm going to flip over to my Strike app, and I'm going to paste the little QR code that I copied. I'm going to paste it into my Strike app. And then that will send Bitcoin over to my podcaster wallet. I'm going to show you
how. Whenever I talk about Strike, I usually say, imagine it's like Venmo for Bitcoin.
Good one. Okay. So this,
because that's the Lightning Network, is Venmo for Bitcoin.
All of that scenario right there assumes I already had Strike set up.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm in a country that Strike exists in, which to my knowledge is only the United States and El Salvador.
Yeah.
And so this is why I'm saying, I'm wondering if some of this has to do with being in Australia, because they don't have easy access to Lightning on board.
Yeah. And they don't have Strike, of course, in Australia.
So the way that I typically do it through Strike is simple, because I set up the debit card with Strike, and it's just in that way, it's just like Cash App or whatever, those, you know, any of those other things. You put your debit card in there. And if you do that, it's zero fee.
Mm-hmm.
So you can occasionally, I'll just take $20 off my debit card into Strike, and then I'll refill my podcaster wallet in these various apps off of that Strike balance.
Sure.
But if you don't have Strike, I don't know where you go.
Well, there's other wallets, I think, that are available that will also allow you to buy Bitcoin. You just can't connect it to your bank account.
Are there other services out there that will let you go straight to Lightning from a debit card?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, the Breeze app allows you to purchase Satoshis through its MoonPay integration.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Wallet also allows you to purchase Bitcoin. I think all of them have a partner.
Are those on-chain transactions?
Yeah. Everything is almost, let me see. So Breeze, if you go to Breeze,
mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Because that's where the fees are going to get you. Is if you have to go on-chain.
Yes, that's why Strike is so fantastic. But yeah, absolutely. That's where the fees are going to get you. You're right.
Because that's one of the things they talked about in this episode was like, okay, it's going to cost me $20 to get $5 to send to this podcaster. Because they were going through a service that was on-chain.
Right. Well, that's a rip-off service.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they were using. Did you catch what they were using to do that?
No, I didn't.
So I'm looking at Blue Wallet right now, which I happen to like. Yeah. And let me see. Let me see if I want to purchase. Where does it go?
No, you're in Breeze.
No.
You're in blue.
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, exactly. Tools. None of it is. None of it is really clear, to be honest.
Yeah.
Let me see here.
So this, you know, this whole thing is a problem because we've gotten the podcaster side down to where it's fairly smooth. I mean, you can onboard pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're sitting there with a you know, functional receiver, but there's the only people out there who are set up to pay are the people who already are intimately familiar with Bitcoin. And now that, because they're the only ones that know how to jump around these hoops, and they have figured out the pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a problem.
It's an education problem.
It is an education problem, and also may be just a logistical problem of if you're in a
country that doesn't have Strike.
Yeah, right.
So where's Strike available? I know it's available in El Salvador, so we got a podcast market there.
Yeah.
Strike.ln, I think.
Me, Strike.me.
Strike.me, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the slickest onboarding there is. So it would be wonderful if that, you know, if that was either everywhere or if there was some other similar type service. Strike.me.
Yeah, well, more and more exchanges are starting to support Lightning directly, mm-hmm. But there's still the purchase, and I know that Strike has incredibly low fees for purchasing. So, yeah. I mean, of course, the best way to get Satoshis on the Lightning Network is to earn Satoshis on the Lightning Network. But this is why I would really, and you know, we're going to talk about this on a call, I think, Monday. I'm going to talk about our, you know, the new site, etc. This is why I'm going to be a strong proponent of maybe giving away 1 million Satoshis to our app developers per week, maybe even, so that they can preload the next 100 accounts, because it's, if you come in and like, oh crap, I've got 10,000 sats here, I can start streaming. And in the meantime, you can figure out how to get more. You know, that to me is like the classic drug pusher model.
Drug pusher.
Seriously. Yeah. Let's be honest about it. You give them a free taste and then people are like, oh, well that was fun. Okay. How do I get more?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, now you've, once you experience the whole thing, it's already pretty cool.
Yeah. Once you experience it, it's pretty fun. And you get used to it really quick. But then, you know, where do they go to refill? That's the thing. Like,
if
they're in the EU.
Well, the EU has wallets.
But they don't have Lightning onboarding, like simple
low-fee. No, that's nowhere. You're going to have to go, you're going to have to enter the Bitcoin ecosystem. There's just no two ways about it.
Yeah. This is the whole onboarding problem that we've tried to ignore for a while.
Yeah, honestly, I completely forgot this was a problem.
Me too. I did too. Because I did too until I heard this episode.
Now, there's, on the other hand, there's a pretty cool outfit in Europe. It's in the Netherlands, and it's what is it? It's Bitme something. Bitcoin. Let me see what it is. I can't remember the name of this place. It's not Bitme. It's
It's Dutch.
It's European, and they allow you to connect to your bank account through the. I've even forgot the name of the European payment network.
Mm-hmm.
EU payment network. It's another fine acronym. I'm really failing on this. Anyway, so they have a system that you can tie right into, and as long as you're properly credentialed, you can do you can send off chain to you know, to a Lightning wallet. And then from there, you can transfer it into your podcast wallet. Now, on the other hand, I have a feeling that Twitter and Cash App may start making this easier for us.
I think so, too. I've got that clip from Jack Dorsey, if you want to play it.
Yeah, definitely. Here we go.
And also, if you consider something like Bitcoin existing before YouTube, before Twitter, before Facebook, a lot of the business models that we have today would not be the same. We would certainly not have the dependency we have upon the advertising business model if Bitcoin existed pre-Twitter. And I think the amount of business models that enables, the amount of innovation enables going forward, especially when you can consider the whole internet instead of going country by country by country by country, which you have to whenever you're dealing with finance, it really just opens the aperture. And
whenever he speaks, my eyes glaze over.
He's not a very entertaining speaker.
No, not at all. It's like, come on, Jack.
His direction is clear, though, and this is something why when we talk about Bitcoin stuff, half of the our listeners
eyes glaze over. Sure.
But I think I would like to make a plea that people begin to try to engage with this stuff, because the reason that we are the reason we've been doing with Bitcoin and Lightning and micropayments and podcasting is because of what Jack Dorsey just said.
Yeah.
There is a section of the tech world that is actively embracing Bitcoin, and there's real big money behind it. And it is going to be a piece of the future when it comes to this stuff. I mean, Twitter is clear. They've already said that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to integrate tipping and that kind of stuff into Twitter with Bitcoin. So this future is coming. And so it would make sense to begin to try to understand it right now. Of course, like we're willing to just roll stuff out there and just try stuff, you know, and have it fail and have all these kind of crazy things happen and nobody understand what we're talking about. We're willing to do that. Like a company like Twitter or somebody like that, they're not just going to roll some half-assed thing out there like we do.
Unlikely.
Right. They're going to wait till it's completely slick and polished and all that kind of stuff. But the benefit of the way that we've done it, sort of getting out here and taking the arrows, is that it lets people understand what's actually going on under the surface when those real things hit. And then when the big players actually roll out the slick system and get you into the Bitcoin game, you already understand what's happening and what the implications are for all the other industries you care about, like podcasting.
You know, I'm just thinking about this. The way that app developers onboarded people with Lightning wallets, do you know how that was done initially, which just recently was stopped or was stopped with anything on the App Store, was through a roulette wheel.
Oh, like a faucet type deal?
Yeah. You know, hey, how about that? Crap, there's an idea. Why don't we just do a faucet that we can lock off and... Oh, my God. Bam! Call Tim, quick! This is what we need to do. We'll do an LM Pay faucet.
Tim's shutting down the faucet.
Well, he has to keep the faucet open.
Okay.
Think about it. So we can put X amount in, and then, you know, per person that shows up, per wallet address, you know, you can get X amount per day or week. I think it's completely configurable, or one time ever. Last time, it's been a while since I played with a faucet. And so you could do it that way. I mean, someone's going to have to grease the wheels. And it is my belief that whatever we hand out to get this going, we'll come back to us tenfold. I've just always seen things work that way in my life. So, you know, it's not like you and I or Eric are pining over, you know, $300.
Yeah.
You know, we're not taking any money. So we might as well put some of it back and see if we can grease the wheels, get people excited, get people started. This is also how Bitcoin started, with faucets. people.
Yeah, I remember there getting a faucet drip like way early, like back in like 2011 or something like
and,
that. Whenever
and honestly, you and I have given people more satoshis than we probably would want to calculate. Just by sending them stuff to get started. We got a lot of the developers started that way.
I don't want to see the number of Satoshis I've given away. It's probably very large.
Right. But you see my point. So your point is very well made. And it can be kind of exciting because then we can also kind of track onboarding. And if the value for value system is what I think it is, then I believe that the support will come back and we can make that circular. We can make that kind of a flow, a limited onboarding flow that we'll see if it works. I mean, what do we have to lose? $1,000? You know, I'm willing to put $1,000 up from and see if it works.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And it makes easy for everybody, right? It makes it easy for the app developers, et cetera.
I wonder if it doesn't have to be just us, too. I wonder if other people in the system would be willing to donate some sats to the faucet to grease the wheels.
There's another great idea. Open it up for incoming as donations. Great idea. Yeah. And think about this. So why wouldn't it be as follows? I fire up a PodFriend. I go to the wallet. I say, I'm new here. Hey, you're new here. Yeah, I'm new. We're going to give you some Satoshis to give you the vibe. And the next time you go here. And then you click on I'm new or whatever, it flips open the camera for you to scan from the faucet right away.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, that's an experience. Go to this website, another marketing opportunity, which maybe go to this website and that's where we say, hey, if you live in this country, get Strike, or follow these instructions to get some Lightning wallet, et cetera, et cetera. How about that?
Yeah, no, I like it. I like these ideas.
That's why there's three of us, darling.
Yeah, because I'm just like fretting over this all night. Like nobody can outside the U.S. can easily get on this train. I mean, like it's I was depressed.
Well, okay. So, there's just again, that's why there's three of us. I mean, I see this like okay, cool problem. Let's solve this shit now. Right away. Where's my soldering iron?
Well, did you see Evoterra's website?
No, I did not. I did not.
He has changed, and this is a big deal.
I'm going there right now.
Podcastpontifications.com. He has changed his homepage where the little listen everywhere thing, instead of just being like Spotify, Apple, and anywhere else you get your podcast. He now has
Podcast crap. Addict, I see it. Breeze, Pocket Cast, Podverse. Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's putting some 2.0 apps on there.
Go Evo.
Yeah. He contacted me earlier this week and was like, hey, man, check out what I'm doing. I was like, man, that's bless you. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. That's fantastic. Well, I think this is a good idea. And I know Tim's listening, so hopefully he'll keep a drip open for us. Because
the drips should come straight through the apps, right?
No. So the way it should work is, first of all, there's an address to donate to fill it up. And then let's just say, a new podcaster can go, or it doesn't even matter. Forget about new. Just you can go there and you say, fill up my wallet from the drip in the app. And it's ready to accept an image of a QR code, which is how the drip works. Because it's kind of the reverse in that case. I mean, you're scanning something, and then it pops up whatever you're allowed to take out, and you just kind of confirm it.
Yeah.
So at least the last time I did it, something. You know what? I don't know what I'm talking about. I'd have to do it again. But I do know how a faucet works, and I do know you can limit it. So let's say you can take out a couple thousand sats even just to get you rolling, and maybe you can come back a week later. Give people a little bit of an experience at very low cost, and this is what's beautiful. It's like, oh, I got 1,000 satoshis. It just feels good. Forget that it's 30 cents. That's not the point.
No, I like it.
Okay.
This is good.
All right. So now that I've fixed onboarding for you, anything else I can do, Dave?
You could.
I could fix
a
lot.
Be more than it would be welcome if you could fix duplicates in the index for me. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, how bad is this problem? Is
eating up a lot of my time right now. Okay. You have to define bad because it's not terrible, but it's a problem. That's my way of not answering the question because I don't honestly know. Because if you just look at the amount of duplicates in there, I mean, there's quite a few.
Can you put an estimated number on that?
I can't. There's really no way to do that because
it's enough that at least one person per day finds a dupe.
Lately.
Okay. Lately.
Yeah. That's it's a relatively new.
This isn't Podping duping us, is it?
No, this isn't Podping. So this all boils down to how you find what a duplication is.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a few different scenarios here. You can say, like, if you were to go in there and say, okay, find me all the
can I back you up for a second? How does duplication occur outside of the index in the first place? How can there be two feeds of the same podcast?
Okay, so there's a few different ways. You can have multiple feeds that are actually the same podcast. That can happen a couple of different ways. It can happen through a move from one host to another, but they never set a redirect.
Uh-huh.
So they have a feed that exists and is still working on one host, and they moved and imported their feed into another host, and that one is also still working. Mm. So now you have two working feeds that are the exact same podcast, but they never linked to each other through a redirect.
And they're both updating simultaneously and they're equal?
Not on a host move, typically. That scenario you just gave is what happened on platforms like WordPress is bad about this, where you have multiple URLs that give you the same feed.
Ah, yes, the URL problem. Okay, got it. That's why the GUID is so important.
Yeah, so you would have, like, let's just say example.com/podcast/feed, and then you would have example.com/podcast/feed.xml.
And then you could also have podcast.example.com.
Yeah, exactly. And so you could have literally five ways to get the exact same RSS feed with different URLs.
And this would be because submissions have been made in different times, different places. It's all user error, I'm sure.
Most in that specific case, yes. In that case, it is typically just a user configuration problem, or the plugin that's creating the thing is doing stuff that the user doesn't understand and is not documented properly. So in that scenario, those are fairly easy to find because we can compare what's called the C hash, and the C hash just takes key pieces of the RSS feed and boils them down into a hash value
and does a comparison.
And we can find that those two things are the same. And that thing is running daily, and it finds and squashes duplicate feeds. Now, the one thing it was not doing, and this became a problem this week with Mitch at Podverse, is that process was not linking from, if it marked a feed as dead, it was not then putting a cross-reference back to the original that it was a duplicate of. So if somebody was subscribed to the duplicate,
they would lose it.
On Podverse, yeah, they would lose their subscription. So we fixed that, and we've got that part working. So that part should be fine. The ones that are the most difficult to find are the ones where the feed is the same. It's the same podcast. It's the same podcast. The feed is slightly different, and it exists on two different platforms, but for legitimate reasons. And
such as a private feed or so-called private feed.
Subscription feed. A good example of this would be you have a podcast and you've got the feed that's meant to be public. Then you've also got another feed being served from a different platform that may have slightly different content in it, but it's essentially the same show. And that feed is only meant for this one platform to ingest. It's not meant for public consumption.
How the hell does that even happen?
Well, it happens more frequently than I realized.
And we don't know who the culprit, or is there one common denominator of platform that people are creating new feeds for?
No, this seems to be sort of just a done thing in some, in some groups. And I mean, they all understand that their feed is public, but there's not a great way to specify which feeds should be consumed by which platforms. So one of the things we're going to do with the namespace phase 4 is the block tag. So that would solve this issue.
Yes, it would. Yeah. So don't import this one. Right.
Right. And that's not a censorship thing. That's just a ingestion point control thing to say, hey, this feed over here is only, like, some people want to create a feed. It's only meant to be brought in by, let's just say, iHeartRadio.
Mm-hmm.
And it has stuff in it that doesn't make any sense for other things. And so pulling it in as a duplicate of their public feed is a problem. You're going to end up with two of the same thing, and it's going to be hard to differentiate them, and they're not going to make any sense. So the one way, until we get to that, two things would solve that, the block tag and the GUID. Those would both solve it. But until we get there, the thing I'm working on right now is the image comparison.
A very novel way of doing it. I like that.
Yeah, I hope it works. So
you're literally comparing a real image. You're doing AI image processing to find duplicates to see if the album art is the same in multiple feeds.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically just and it's not even AI. It's like just a brute force sort of, you take these two images, resize them to be the same size, and then do a diff between the images, with some fuzzing and that kind of thing to take care of anti-aliasing that comes from the resizing. You diff it, and then, it spits out, a value that's like, okay, this image number one is this much percent different than image number two. And then we would just have some sort of threshold there. Let's just say if it's 15% or less similar, and who knows what these numbers are yet, but then you say, okay, well, this is probably a duplicate.
If you had unlimited human intelligence to do this, would that be an easier, more accurate, and perhaps faster way to do it?
Oh, yeah.
And the reason 100%. I ask is because Paul many times has said, Stackworks can do this. We can help you dedupe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what would it cost,
I don't know.
And how would you do it? How did you start at A and just go down the list?
I got no clue. I guess just one feed idea after another.
Well, this is not unique. As you're aware, Google has just recently given people the opportunity to select which feed is important for which they want Google to surface when someone is looking for specifically an RSS feed.
Yeah. Yeah, because they may have picked up the wrong one.
Or they may have multiple.
Yep.
If that's the way Google's doing it, I'm just going to go out there. It's like, wow, I can't believe they didn't come up with the image search idea.
Well, I don't know. They may have, because somebody that contacted me yesterday had this issue. So they had three copies of the same feed. Mm. One was meant for some sort of like radio network or something. One was meant for public, and one was meant for something else. And so two of them needed to be removed. They all had a very similar image. The image was the same essentially, but it was just resized and cropped a little differently, but it was essentially the same picture. And they said that Google properly ingested their thing. Now I have not looked deep into their feed yet,
mm-hmm.
but Google may be doing the same thing. on their side. They may be doing the image
thing. Sounds like a huge pain in the ass.
It's a very big pain in the butt, yes.
And it is. And if you were to put a percentage, 2%, 5% of the index is duplicated, 10?
Man, you know, I really have no clue. Because, that's like asking how many cockroaches there are in New York. I really don't, like, any number that I give you would probably just be made up. Because you can look, so if you look at, if you do a title search and say, okay, show me every feed in the index where the title, where there's a title that matches more than one feed, you get a big number. You get like 250,000.
It's got to be impossible. Yeah. Especially the word podcast.
Yeah, but that means nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just means nothing. I mean, so many people have the title of their podcast be, you know, inspirational stories. I mean, there's probably 25 of those or more. But that means nothing. I mean, those are actually different podcasts.
Yeah.
Or a lot of them have the word, the title is just podcast.
Is there a way to have a hosting company, let's say pick Fireside, to interact database to database to do a dupe check? Say, okay, here's everything that I have. And whether it's by GUID or URL or whatever it is, do a check, a sanity check, a dupe check with the podcast index. And it goes, this is Adam's fantasy. And then all of a sudden it says, okay, I have, these are your feeds. Here are the ones that I have multiple entries for. And from there you can start to make new decisions and do analysis. Is that technically possible or is that another nightmare?
I think it would be sort of possible. There you'd still have these gray.
Because ultimately, we're talking about, you know, under a million feeds that are really alive, and if someone, and you know, and then answer, you know, as people are searching for stuff, and if multiple shows up, you know, obviously we have to have a way to rectify that, which is partially, I think, planned. But I'm just thinking, because Buzzsprout, they could roll off 80,000. You know, it's like, okay, we checked them all. Here's the dupes, and then, you know, further work needs to be done. Then we call Christopher Isine. We give him a big OPML file and say, what do we do?
we give him a 7 gig OPML file.
maybe.
So I don't know. I mean, our database is downloadable. It's out there.
So they could do it themselves. Yeah. They could just run it. Oh, that, well, if we had a little script, you know, I'll whip something up in Python for him.
Yeah, please do.
I'll throw some native React on top. and then we can do the Mongo database sync.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Mongo to the Congo.
And when you're finished with that Python, please send it to Alex Gates. I'm sure he'd want to see it.
So he can critique my code? No way. That guy's harsh.
critique is not the word I would use.
I love how Brian of London just said, yeah, you're right. That's great. Yeah. Whip me. I need more whipping.
This might be the right time to tell the Freedom Controller URL shortener story that Andy Lehman asked about. So with this all came up in the context of some obscure bug that only that had been in the index, I guess, since the beginning. Trying to remember what it was. I remember what it was. So the sound bytes. The code that returns sound bytes from feeds in the API.
Mm-hmm.
I'm checking to make sure that it has valid parameters before I return it. So it was checking to make sure that it had a duration and a start time.
Mm-hmm.
And for start time, what I should have been doing is checking that the start time existed. But instead I was using the is it empty? And so empty in PHP means is it zero or non-existent?
Mm.
So empty in this regard, if so the soundbite.
So the zero, yeah. A soundbite is the beginning of the show, then zero is not a good number.
Zero would say, yeah, it's empty, don't return.
Got it.
So Andy's like, hey, I know I'm looking at the soundbite. I know it's in there, but the API is not returning.
Yeah, anything within the first 9 minutes of a show is unclippable as a soundbite.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I got it. I love these problems. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And so I mentioned, I was like, well, we had a similar problem with Freedom Controller years ago. And so this, one of the things that the Freedom Controller does is it has a URL shortener built into it.
Now, why did we build that URL shortener?
For this reason, the URL shortener, everything in the Freedom Controller is meant to be owned by you. So you, the whole idea behind it is that it is a box that holds all of your stuff that you've ever done.
Yeah.
So that you don't lose it and you own it. So we said, well, if we're going to do URL shortener, don't go and start using some service out there that may disappear, because then you use all, you lose
everything.
All your
you lose yeah. everything. Yeah.
So what the URL shortener that's built in the Freedom Controller works like this. It, when you shorten a URL, it creates
an entry in a bucket. If I remember.
Yes, yeah, exactly right. It creates an object in an S3 bucket, and it just increments that object name, through hexadecimal each time. So it starts off with, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way through F, then rolls over. And so you get, it goes all the way through the alphabet. It's not hex. It's alphanumeric. Mm. So it goes all the way 0 through capital Z. Then it rolls over and goes to two characters and goes 0, yeah. Blah, yeah. Blah, blah.
In fact, let me see where I'm at right now.
No, yours is probably pretty high.
Let me see what my number is.
And so it creates an object in the bucket with that name, and that object is just an HTML file with a meta redirect in the head to the actual full-length URL.
Right.
Then you point whatever you want your short URL domain to be, you point it to the bucket, and you instantly get your own URL shortener.
And I've had very hilarious results that I will give you an example of right now.
Okay.
So my shortener is l.curry.com, which seemed appropriate for links, /. Mm-hmm. I only have three characters, but that's quite a bit, I guess. Three characters is...
Yeah, we calculated it one time to be... you could do like billions with that scheme.
And so this particular link that I sent out was John C. Dvorak's Space Jerks Substack about billionaires in space. The short URL is l.curry.com/FSB.
Nice.
The actual Russian Secret Service initials.
And
isn't that interesting?
And therein lies the framework, the groundwork for the problem that we had.
Okay.
Because when we built this thing, the first thing my mind went to is, okay, you're gonna get curse words out of this thing at some point.
I have definitely. It's been a while, but definitely someone said, "Oh, nice URL shortener, FCK or something like that."
Yeah, and so I put in a big long list. I don't know.
Of words to skip.
Words to skip. Yeah. Excellent. I mean, you don't want it to be like l.curry.com/cunt or something like that. I mean, like,
wow, you said it out loud. Whew, Dave Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Ass.
There you go. I've had ass. I think ass popped up for me once. It failed your system. I don't think did you put ass in?
No, ass is the thing that blew it all up. Because you had been rolling along for about, I don't know, 5 years, and then all of a sudden you sent me a message and were like, hey, this, I can't do anything. I'm the whole thing is just dead. And I got in there and started looking at the logs, and ass was the first cuss word that it hit in the block list. And so for 5 years, it had been working perfectly until it hit that one thing. And there was a bug in the filtering code, and it blew up.
That's like the Y2K problem, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the ASS problem. Nice.
Yeah. So you had an ass problem and it blew your code up. So like, there are always these types of bugs in every system where it works, but you're not exactly sure why it works.
And you never know when it will stop working.
And by the way, that whole scheme for how to do URL shortening, that wasn't invented by us. That was invented by the old AJAX service. Do you remember AJAX?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They used that scheme. And so we ripped it off.
I'm glad you told the story because only maybe earlier this week, someone on No Agenda Social said, Kerr, you're such, I'm going to do his voice. Oh, Kerr, you're such an off the grid OTG, no track guy, but use the URL shortener, man. What are you tracking everybody?
You own it. It's your URL shortener.
Well, I'm tracking. I'm tracking everybody. What kind of evil man are you tracking? I said, yeah. Well, he said, I can't even remember exactly why we created it, but I know how it works. I think it's just a text file in an S3 bucket, and there's no tracking going on there.
Did you tell him that's where you keep your Google Analytics code?
I don't have that either.
I know. I'm just being stupid.
I don't have that either.
Anyway, that's the story. It's not a very exciting story.
That's a good story. It's a fun story. Certainly, nerds like these stories. Definitely.
It proves the point that every system has an element, every sufficiently complex system has an element to it that works, but you won't know exactly why it works.
Right.
That's and incidentally, that is that relates back to a bigger issue with what's called the evolutionary argument against naturalism. And so the idea there is that if evolution is true and naturalism is true, if both of those things are true, then we cannot trust that our own mind is giving us true information. Meaning that if all that matters is the outcome in this scenario, meaning that you get your descendants, descendants survive and you get your progeny into the next generation, if that's all that matters to a blind force like evolution, then you can't be sure that the things you think you know are actually true.
Because it could be a problem three generations down the line.
Well, so you think that you survived because you know the truth about what can kill you, but that's not accurate because even if you, all that matters is that you actually survived. It doesn't matter that it was true. So if you thought that running away from tigers was the best way to light birthday candles, right, then you would survive as an early hominid. But the reason you survived had nothing to do with truth. You only survived because the falsehood that you believed happened to coincide with behavior that allowed you to live.
Right. So humans don't know jack.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. So like that's the same thing with any sufficiently complex system is like the system can be running the whole time and everything looks great and you think you know exactly why it's working and how it's working and everything. And then something happens and you realize, oh, I totally didn't understand this.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on
with the dupes. To a degree.
No, I just got off on that tangent.
Little your weekly philosophy with Dave Jones.
Sorry.
Southern hospitality and deep philosophy with Dave Jones.
Look up Alvin Plantinga. He's the philosopher that made that argument famous. Anyway.
Well, I'm not only looking him up, I'm going to put him in the show notes. Kidding.
Now you put Alvin Plantinga in the show notes.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, if it's just from, I got to tell you, the number of times I have used transcript search is unbelievable.
Oh, really?
Ah, so many times because there's 3.5 hours on No Agenda. It's like, well, you were talking about this, and well, can you give me kind of a range of episodes? I can always find it. It is really astounding how useful that is.
Well, transistor.fm just added transcripts.
Mm-hmm. And I see more and more. Thank you, Phone Boy, for starting to use Podverse sound bites in his no agenda quotes. That's very cool.
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah. So now it's the quote, and then it also sends along the clip. Unfortunately, it appears the clip sometimes, I could be wrong, but it appears that the clip that shows up is of the current artwork and not of that episode's artwork. But I could be wrong. Huh. That's actually, I consider that a bug now that I think about it.
That's interesting because you do something different in your feed than most people who have show album art. Mm-hmm. They only change the show art for each episode, but their feed art stays the same. But right. You change both.
Yes. Yes,
your
I do.
Your feed art and your album art and your episode art both change.
No, hold on a second. I don't think that's true.
Hold on.
I'm going to check it right now. I do not change the feed art.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm. I'm going to look right now. I'm going to look at my feed. No agenda feed. And just double check. So I do not even have, how is this possible? There's no album art in my feed at all. I'm looking at no agenda.
You're looking at the XML or the OPML?
I'm looking at the Freedom Controller, the OPML.
Okay, so it's that's why your album art is changing in the feed is because there's not one defined in the album. So it takes the first episode and uses that as the album art.
Uh-huh.
For the feed.
So I'm looking now at No Agenda quotes 16 hours ago, and it's a mm-hmm. quote from episode 1359. It correctly links to 1359, but it shows the artwork for 1366 or whatever we just did.
Okay. So that may be a bug in Podverse then.
I think it is.
Yeah, because I've noticed that.
I need a jingle. Stomped another one.
Do you want to? No, let's save that for the donations. I was going to do Benjamin. Benjamin sent us an ISO, but I'll save that for the for the donation because he's got that one coming up.
Wow, this is already a lot of heady stuff, man.
Did we go too deep?
No. You know what? I'll bring it back to something lighthearted that I had on my list. I should have mentioned earlier. Since we're possibly considering a faucet anyway, a charity faucet. We got to come up with a name. The podcast pump. No, that's not a good one. Yeah. Well,
I like the podcast pump.
Okay, we'll think about it. Which I think is a great idea. And I'm pretty sure that Tim can wire it up so that you can't, keep refilling your wallet, your same wallet over and over again. I think it's got to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the QR code to get some sample sats.
Tim's rolling his eyes right now. He's like, God, you
good,
guys don't understand
good,
anything.
Good. But I want to bring back the fast follow idea, which I think is still a great idea. Is to surface a QR code to follow through an app. I don't think anyone's doing that. It makes so much sense.
Explain this to me.
Okay, so I'm walking along, la-di-da-di-da, and then someone says, hey, man, this is a great show. Oh, okay, I'll check it out. And then either he flashes me a QR code or the QR code sticker on the fence. I just take my my PodFriend app or my CurioCaster or my Podverse or go on and on and on. I fire up the fast follow. I focus the camera on it. Boom. It's just a URL.
So you're on podcast. You're on PodFriend. I'm on Castomatic, and you're going to pop up a QR code. I can scan it with mine.
Yes.
And we jive.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it can also just, like the Freedom Controller blog pages. It's got a QR code.
Yeah.
I use that all the time. I love that QR code.
That's a good idea. But it would have to be something where you could
customize what it opens.
Well, we've wanted this podcast :// thing.
Yeah, but let's reverse the process. This is what I think is so cool. So instead of you know, a web browser, because of course that's how most people use QR codes, and it pops up, you know, it opens up a web page. So what if we put that same mechanism inside the podcast app? So instead of your OS, you know, only wanting to open Apple or whatever, or Google Play, or nothing, or just a web page or some horrible experience, the app is going to say, "Oh, this is a URL for this podcast. Boom, done, subscribed."
Yeah, I like
move
that.
Move on. It's perfect.
You would have to have Bitcoin type wallet app functionality though, where instead of just doing QR code scan, it would have to be able to copy paste too. Because you could
Whoa! You just lost me. I mean, you could do this with any podcast app. It doesn't have to have Bitcoin or value for value enabled.
No. I'm not tying it to the Bitcoin stuff. I'm just saying that, like, so. Let's take, for example, Evo's page where he's got his different apps listed.
Yes,
whatever.
That would be a place where you display it. Podcasting 2.0, scan this.
At that point, you're in Safari.
No, I understand.
And then you would copy the QR code out and paste it into the app is what I'm saying.
No, well, okay.
If you're on the same device,
yes.
Yeah.
And then I would say do it the same way many Lightning wallets do it. You can either scan or you can choose a QR code from your files that you just took. You took a picture of.
Yeah. Those three options. Yeah.
But I think the most obvious is, it's like a public relations campaign. You walk by, subscribe to my podcast. You know, or maybe the QR code has some distinctive graphic design to it that, you know, shows it's 2.0. You know, so people will be like, "Oh, that's cool. Well, how does this work?" And, you know, get one of these apps. Oh, okay, free. You know, web app even. Oh, boom. Okay, click. Boom. Work. Oh, that was cool. Man, you would never go back to any other way.
I mean, is that something we should do on Podcast Index site? Just like provide these landing
pages. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Don't you think? Well, the question is, we have to kind of develop the standard for them. And you know, so what you don't want is people just scanning it with their phone with Safari or, you know, Chrome or whatever, and it just opens up an RSS feed.
You don't want that.
So we have to come up with some, you know, you can't just be displaying it in places that make no sense without some caveat is you need this type of app to do it.
Yeah, so the QR code scan the scan thing would have to be built into the app.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's got the Python code. It's on its way. So simple. I know how to do this one.
God, you're fast.
If X equals null, then open camera. Get URL. Yeah. Read QR code.
Boom. You nailed it.
So I think that is part of the future that people are getting more used to. You know, if you have an iPhone, you go to a friend's house, like, boom, oh, hold on a second. You just shared my, you know, you can have someone scan your phone. I think with iPhone, you can even do it just as long as you're on the same network. It helps you get the Wi-Fi password, the Wi-Fi key. There's lots. QR codes have really come onto themselves since the Great Reset when paper menus went away from restaurants.
Yeah.
So everyone is kind of into this now.
I didn't even think about that. The menu thing.
Yeah.
Well, that really brought QR codes into their own.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they've been with us forever.
Yeah. And we laughed at them like, who's going to use this piece of crap? And you always had to have a separate app. So the first great thing, and this is what I'm saying that our app developers should consider. The great thing is that I think iOS and Android built into their camera software. Oh, if you see a QR code, then, you know, trip this subroutine and open up the URL.
Mm-hmm.
That it didn't used to be that way. You had to the app had to open it, and you have to use the app to get the URL.
Trip the subroutine. You've really got your developer hat on today.
Well, I've been doing a little on the side, man. You know, it's like I'm trying to.
hit the skip logic and
it always happens when the power goes out, you know, and the UPS dies, and then my Raspberry Pi Bitcoin node comes back, and I have to unlock the wallet, and I go looking around like, oh, let me just do a couple of balance of Satoshi commands, and then I'm all command line, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do a shell script to make this easier, and I, of course, I even move it to /user/bin, and then I forget the name. You know, I'll have five of these executables, you know, similar names. I don't know. Was it dashboard? My dashboard dash? I can't remember. You know, they all calling each other. Oh, I'm a mess. Yeah.
Next month, I'm going to create a dashboard. Ooh, wait. Didn't I do that already?
Yeah. A dashboard. I've never built dashboards for myself.
Do we want to thank people?
Yes.
Before we.
Yeah. And, okay. And
I want to talk about some stuff Dame Jennifer sent me. She's got some good ideas.
Okay. The main thing I wanted to point out is that we received, and I don't know if you have them on your, if you've printed them out, but we received quite a number of payment messages.
Yeah. I printed them.
Oh, okay. So you have those? Okay. And then I don't know what happened last night, but I got a whole crap. Was that the guys doing that? Was that no agenda traffic? I don't know what was going on.
No, we got a huge stack today. I had to put more paper in the printer.
Have a question for you though, just on the payment messages. Any way that we can? So first of all, as much of a nerd as I am, it's got to be pretty simple to translate the minutes into a human understandable timestamp.
Instead of just raw seconds.
Yeah.
That's what it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's one. Two, is it possible to know what episode this is coming from? Because that's currently not in there.
Yeah. I'm going to do that too.
Who creates the someone used CurioCaster's tip jar to send some love go podcasting?
That is a tip. And so that should not be in there. Those should not, we shouldn't be getting emails for those. I don't think, because there's no, you don't put a message in there at that point. Those are coming in there by mistake. Those are just normal boosts.
Right. But didn't CurioCaster change the nomenclature?
That's just the default wording. If you don't do a message boost. If you just do a tip.
Right. And that's whose default wording is that? CurioCaster's in this case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So he hasn't changed because he's using, instead, no longer using, hold on. It's very interesting. I love this stuff. I fucking love this stuff. Hold on. Let me just go here. So hold for message. This is message boost.
Are you doing it on the site now?
Yeah, I'm just looking right now. So yeah, it's called the message boost. Interesting. Oh, and then I can select everyone, and I can select it. It's a very nice interface he's built.
Yeah, it is.
So that's coming from him. That particular line.
Yeah, yeah. That's sort of the default wording.
Yeah, I think he just forgot to change that.
Oh, okay.
Because I just have a thing against tips.
Well, but see that's the, you know, you can do a message boost or you could do a tip.
Not on CurioCaster anymore.
Are you sure? Because it's got the two tabs at the top. Because if you go, you can either send a message boost.
No, you need to look again. Okay. I think it's changed, Dave.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because what I have now is, let's check this out. Okay, there's no more two, there's only at the bottom now, there's boost. And hold for message boost. There's no other things at the top.
Okay, I'm going to boost. Okay, I just boosted the business side of music podcast.
Yeah.
And I think what just happened was it sent that exact message you're talking about.
Oh, just by boosting?
Yes.
Oh, so this is just a bug.
I think the bug is on our side of how we're handling it.
Okay, so
because there's multiple TLV records that come in.
Right, I'll tell you what I expect.
All right.
I never expect to see the word tip or tip jar. Seriously, I hate it. I hate it.
Explain why you hate it, though.
Because I don't work for tips. Nobody should work. Value for value is antithetical to tips. A tip is, the service was, I paid for something, I'm going to add something on top. That's a tip. Mm-hmm. Or you're really just demeaning. I don't like it when someone in a restaurant, when I give them a tip, I'm giving them value for value. Now, that's just my mindset. So if I'm doing a podcast, a boost is understandable. And if you're sending me a boost, it should say so-and-so boosted at this time. Right? That's a boost. Do you consider a boost to be a tip? Because then we have a fundamental problem in our marriage.
Yeah, I do not. I do not consider a boost to be a tip.
All right.
I consider a boost to be a boost.
Right. A boost in
more than just financial sense. You're boosting.
Yes,
you're elevating.
Exactly. So I don't even expect to get a message from this unless we're just going to say you got a boost and that's fine. Then you hold down the boost button in CurioCaster. It pops up a panel. It says boost amount to, and then you can select everyone or individually from, and then it says anonymous. You can fill in your name, and then it has a field. If you boost 1,000 sats or more, you can attach a message to your boost. So nowhere is the word tip, has the word tip come back here. This is now a boost with a message, or as he's calling it, message boost.
Let me tell you where that's coming from.
Okay.
The wording there is coming from the fact that in the TLV records, that specific TLV that he's using for the boost is officially called the tip TLV.
Okay.
And I think he got the wording from that.
Okay.
And so that's because it was developed, I think, for perhaps Sphinx. And they called it that. So I think that's where that nomenclature is coming from.
Okay.
And I believe what's happening is he's sending two different TLVs. He's sending the tip TLV and then the 762169 or whatever that number is, which is the podcast, the value for value TLV. I think he's sending both. I think I'm inadvertently picking up the one that's the tip.
Right. But you wrote the words tip jar, not CurioCaster.
No, that he wrote that.
Okay. Well, then he needs to come to the headmaster's office.
Ruler on the knuckles.
I know I'm anal about this, but it's really important. And if anything, I have a little bit of ownership of the value for value concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's key that this is not seen as tipping. Tipping has always failed. Tipping me, I wouldn't call that a huge success. You know, when I see Jack Dorsey talking about tipping on Twitter, I'm like, you're stupid. That's buy me a coffee is different. I like buy me a coffee. You're saying, hey, I'm doing this anyway. Buy me a coffee. Mm-hmm. That's valid. That's a very understandable transaction. I like that a lot, but tipping and tip jar? No, it really irks me. Can you tell?
Okay, Steven, there's lots of displeasure here. This needs to be fixed.
I'm triggered, but this is an absolute trigger word. It's worse than pod, okay? I can live with pod.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
I
can.
I didn't know. Is it as bad as chip in?
Well, chip in is just a joke now. But chip in, if you ask someone to chip in, that is going to be $3 max. That's what a chip in. We're conditioned. That's the ask. Look at all of the political emails. Chip in. And it's the left and right in the United States who use this term. And they probably all use the same firm who writes these silly emails. And it's chip in, which I've always laughed about because it really... It cheapens everything. Yeah. I've never understood it.
Well, see, that's the way I felt about Buy Me a Coffee, though. It feels like, okay, I just gave you 2 hours of podcasting of my day and all that stuff, and you're going to buy me a coffee.
If you ask if you're using Buy Me a Coffee, then you expect someone to send you the equivalent of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but that, I get it. But that shouldn't be tied to podcasting because, well, I mean, I don't like the word shouldn't. What I'm trying to say is that, like, if you take the cost of a cup of coffee at $4.50 and then you divide that by 2 hours, I mean, you're working for, 10% of minimum wage.
But what podcaster is doing this? What podcaster has Buy Me a Coffee on their podcast?
Lots of them.
Well, they are really hurting themselves.
I don't know who they are, but they're out there.
Remember, the number one reason people don't give money is because they weren't asked. So when you ask, if you just did 2 hours of podcast and a week of research and you ask someone for a coffee, how can you be surprised when someone gives you a coffee?
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly right.
So it makes no sense, but it's because people are afraid. They're afraid to value their own personality, work, and effort. Mm-hmm. I had a guy out here. So we have a couple acres now, and the grass needs mowing. I did that once in my life. I'm not going to do it anymore. It's a hellish job. It'll take all day on a riding lawnmower. And it's very hard to find anyone who has time for either they don't want to work or they're overburdened, filling up for everybody else. So I finally get a guy, Paul the septic tank guy. He says, I got a guy. He actually works for me. He just bought himself a new lawnmower. I gave him one of my clients already, one of these deals. So he said, send him by. So Eric comes by. Nice kid. And he's like, yeah, I can do this. I said, what are you going to charge? He said, I really don't know. So what do you really don't know? Do you have an hourly price? No, I just kind of started. I really don't know. I said, okay, you go back to your boss, Paul, the septic tank guy, and you tell him that you said that to me. And after he beats you senseless, you'll come back with a price, which I'll agree to anyway. I'm going to pay you no matter what, but you have to learn how to value your effort.
Yeah.
He could not do it.
If you don't value your own effort, somebody else is going to value it for you, and I guarantee you, you're not going to like
it. You're not going to like it. Exactly. Let's thank some people, Dave, because I've gone off the rails. I need to do some deep psychoanalysis on myself after this episode. But holy crap, am I triggered by Tip?
Well, I'm the one that brought up evolution and naturalism, so I deserved it.
Well, we should do a separate podcast about stuff like that one day. I wouldn't mind going deep with you have a degree in philosophy, don't you?
I have half a degree in philosophy.
Oh, well.
The other half is in having kids.
Well, I hear you.
Let's see, Mark.
Let me set it up perfectly. After we went through that whole rigmarole, and now we're not going to explain what we're doing. That's really bad. Value for value is the concept. The No Agenda Show pioneered it 14 years ago. It's very simple. What is this podcast worth to you? What is the work that is being done worth to you? These ideas that we have, do you get enough value out of what we're trying to build here that you'd be willing to put something in so we can do stuff with it, like prime the pump with the podcast pump? These types of things. If you get value out of it, even value you see as perceived, turn it into a number and send it off to us. And that's that simple, because no one can determine value but you. And most people who are listening to this are truly just getting the value of listening to it. And there's a select group who are getting the value of the work, and ultimately everyone should be benefiting. So there's two ways to do it. Well, there's three ways. You can send us a boost message at any one of the podcast apps that support it at newpodcastapps.com. Or you can go to podcastindex.org, and while it's still in this old format, you can scroll to the bottom, click on the big red donate button. There's also a QR code there for you to send Satoshis to us, or you can just send us your good old cuck bucks through the PayPal, and we really appreciate the support that we get from everybody. There is no other support for this. There's no corporate sponsors, no venture capital, no advertisers. It's meant to be completely open, and to, in effect, keep this communications channel going long beyond At American Dave.
Yep. It's just us.
Yes, it's just us. Yes.
Marco Armit gave us $500. See, he's back.
I love Marco for this. Once every month he comes in. Every month.
At what point, what is the cutoff level? When do you qualify as a sugar daddy?
We're going to do no agenda. We're going to do podcasting 2.0 sugar daddies as a level.
Okay. Yeah. Sugar daddy.
No.
Thank you, Marco.
Sugar daddy.
I don't know what that limit is, but I think we're getting there fast.
Yeah. Well, it's very, very, very much appreciated. And I know he's doing it because he's getting value out of it.
Mm-hmm. Franco Solario gives $100. He's the developer of Castomatic.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I haven't looked at Castomatic in a while. I need to do that.
Yeah, it's a good app. I've got it on my phone. I use them all. I just rotate through all of them just so I can keep track of what all everybody's doing.
Yeah. Well, now that most everyone has OPML import and export, it's made it my life very easy doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have iOS. That's my problem.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're on Android. You're on OTG.
Yeah, Graphene. Yeah.
Franco says, from the DSC to the podcast index, from nice. The Senseo machine on Second Life to streaming sats and Castomatic, most of what I learned about podcasting I owe to Adam. Thank you and go podcasting.
Aw, man, thank you so much.
Go podcasting!
It looks beautiful. Castomatic.com. It's Castomatic 7. Your new favorite podcast player for iOS devices. Castomatic 7.
He's working on streaming sats.
That's cool. Him, I think. Oh, cool. Yep. Cool. What does he he supports the namespace, I presume?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he supports a couple of things.
Chapters. Okay. Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gap Zapper. Yeah, that's another thing I really realized. You know, I've 40 years at making my show sound the way I want them to sound, which, and when podcasting started, a little over halfway through my radio/broadcast career, I started tailoring for earbuds. I started creating a sound that I thought was very effective for podcasts. It is the antithesis of NPR sound. And what I've come to realize, just from comments as well from other people, is that no one is doing it this way. I mean, I'm really like the last of the Mohicans, and everyone else has these crutches which have been made by the app developers, which is in fact a differentiator of extreme proportions. So Automatic Leveler, Gap Zapper, these are all things that improve the otherwise poor production of the majority of podcasts. It's very interesting that, you know, we kind of had this back and forth with, I mean, I like my sound. I think it should work. I often hear, oh, you've spoiled us. And so that's why I use this app, because it has great compression in the player, et cetera, and it makes it all sound good. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. I wish podcasters would just do a better job.
Well, I mean, it's hard. That stuff's hard. You almost have to have somebody teach you.
Yeah, a lot of like people should not be like podcasters. You know, I'm sorry. You just fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
Voted off the island. I kind of realized that. I listen to all kinds of podcasts.
Right.
But I really realized it. You know, I think it was James Cridlin who said he loved a particular app, and he really loved that app because of the sound processing. And I understand that the majority of podcasts are very poorly produced audio-wise. Or a large segment. I can't say majority. A large segment. Anyway, cool. Castomatic. Thank you very much.
Well, Benjamin Bellamy gave us $47.50. And he said, since I always give $47.50, I had to make a donation for episode 47.
Thank you very much, Benjamin.
Do not forget to remind the audience when it is time for Le Boost.
Oh, yes, Le Boost.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Well, we have more where that came from.
Boost! I'm going to try this. Merci for preserving Le Podcasting as a platform for Le Free Speech. And so he also sent us ISO Le Boost.
Le Boost? Oh, no. Oh, no. We have a French boost.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
It's going straight into the machine. Hold on. Oh, my God.
That was him playing the piano, too.
Really?
Cool. Yes.
Hold on a second. Yes. Let me put this over here. Le Boost. and we give it the orange color on the pad. Oh, this is great. I'm going to play that one again once I have it set here. Hold on.
Okay. I was joking about John Chidji playing the piano while he was doing that intro.
He played that too, right? That was him too. I know. We have a lot of time. I tell you, how many times have I said musicians make the best coders?
Yeah.
They really do. Let's try it again. All right. Coming from the cart machine. And
now, as the French say, it is time for le boost.
Boost.
Nice.
Merci beaucoup.
Let's see. Timothy Hudgens did a subscription for $25 a month. I know Tim. He's a buddy of mine. Oh. And I sent him a message saying thank you. We're going to go get some beers.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim. Very nice.
Yeah. Anonymous, $11.11. Anonymous from Northern Virginia. Go podcasting.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm getting a fail here on this.
Go podcasting!
Thank you, Anonymous. Eric Payne gave us $7.61. No note. Thank you, Eric. Let's see who we got here. Michael Goggin did a subscription for $5. No note there. Thank you, Michael.
We appreciate the subscriptions. That's very helpful. That's a server right there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the
What do you call it? Mini O.
Nanode.
Nanode. Yeah.
The $5 Linode. We use about half a dozen of those.
Yeah, it's our version of Elon Skylink, whatever it is. We have these little satellites of Linodes, miniodes running around doing stuff.
Gino Rubini gave us $2. No note. $2 is helpful too because that's a backup.
Mm-hmm.
$2 a month on a nano. That's a backup. Okay. Well, now we got some lightning. Somebody on Twitter said that we need to call these. Aristatica said, for your consideration, a payment message generated from a boost should be called a boostage or a boostagram.
Ooh, boostagram. Hold on a second. Let me go straight away. I've learned from experience. This can change your life. Oh, my God. Would this be crazy if that was available? Hold on. Boostagram.
.com or something.
No, it's already registered.
Who would register that? Maybe it's the guy that said we should do it.
Let me just see if it goes anywhere. Boostagram. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I bet it's parked.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I like it. A boostagram, that's very funny. I like that.
Okay, so the Mere Mortals podcast, who we were just talking about earlier in the show, they boosted us 11,221 sats, which is $5.46.
Wow. Thank you so much.
So they figured
it out. They worked. Yeah. It worked. And they got, and their first support was an actual boostagram.
Yeah.
As we say in French, boostagram.
Le boost.
I have a boostagram from Le boost.
5 years from now, by the time that this, whole thing is rolling, it's gonna be, the whole podcast is gonna be French.
Yes, well, we know that's the whole point of Castapod. That's the whole point of the French government paying for it. It's total propaganda.
It's world domination.
Yes. Well, it used to be the language of the elite. French was the language of politics. It still, to a degree, is in many cases.
It's really hard to have world domination when you're all locked in your houses, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that does.
That puts a damper on things. $5.46. That's U.S. dollars. So they're Australian. I'm not sure what that is in dollar dues, but
I think it's $8,000 in Australia. In fact, Australia is almost on par with Satoshi's. I think they're getting
$100 million per dollar dues per dollar. Okay, so he said the note is, there was once an Adam and Dave who had a most pressing crave. The decree was, shall you have value for value? So we created a 2.0 wave. Nice.
Very nice.
Boostagram of poetry. I love it. Let's see. The Mere Mortals podcast again with another one for 4,100.
Now they got the hang of it, right? Now they're like, yeah. let's do another one. Yeah.
They're draining the bowl now. $2 is what that ends up being in U.S. 4321 blast off, trying out all the places I can send some PMs. This is the coolest shit out there. Honestly, I think this might be the funniest way I've ever spent money. I like it.
I'm loving these messages. I love hearing that. Thank you.
Okay.
That's very encouraging.
Brown of London, I cannot, this was, there's a couple of these where it was very early and I couldn't, and I was misconfigured. You couldn't
decode them?
Mm-hmm. I didn't see the sats. Mm. I saw everything but the sats. So Brian said, I accept. I think he means his invitation to come on the show, and I'll have to send my address and another boost for a t-shirt. So I don't know how many sats he sent us. And there's another one from a guy who's calling himself Cheap Bastard. And he just says, just testing. You rock. Keep up the fight.
You know, what's interesting is I can kind of see this behavior happening. So we have a 5 million sat channel with LNPay, and a lot of this traffic is going over, maybe all of it's going over LNPay. And you know, so that channel is very interesting to watch, because you can almost see right away when someone is, so it, you know, it being used for transfers, because we definitely are a routing node for LNPay and other people. Mm-hmm. But when someone goes nuts on boosting to the podcasting 2.0, the channel really starts to fill up on our side. I'm like, I got to get some out of here. We're going to run out of liquidity on the other end. And then somehow it's quite, when you have a big, these 5 million sat channels, they do tend to kind of balance out magically somehow. Very interesting to watch.
We need a liquidity manager. That's you are the liquidity manager right now.
Yeah, right now I've been the liquidity manager, and it's not a great gig.
Maybe you're a grass cutter guy. Maybe you could be the liquidity manager. Or Paul the septic tank guy. Well, he manages liquids for a living.
He does. Yes. It's a whole new career for him.
Yeah. Chad Farrow sent us 1,000 sats, which is like 48 cents.
Chad F has got to be the biggest promoter right now.
I love that guy.
He's all over the place. Thank you, Chad.
You guys need to check out the Mere Mortals episode 387 when they talk about Adam and PC 2.0. These guys get it.
They do.
I think they could really help with the on-ramp problem we have in the new podcasters using Bitcoin. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. They did the work.
They sure did.
Okay. And last of the boostergrams is John. He just calls himself John. Don't know who that is. He says, fantastic show, gentlemen. 300 sats, which is 15 cents. And tell me how you could ever do a 15 cent donation through PayPal.
Thank you. I just had another idea, Dave. You ready? Ready for? I'm going to blow your mind, brother.
Hit me.
So we have in our podcasting 2.0 value block, we have a split for Dreb Scott, mm-hmm. and we used to have it split between the two of us, but we consolidated that all into the index node to make it a lot easier for accounting. It was really fun, I think, just to see that individually. Mm-hmm. I'm going to recommend that you're going to love this. I'm going to recommend that we put in an additional split for 5% or 10% that goes straight into the podcast pump. Hello.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Hello. Yes. Now the system is feeding itself.
That's the flywheel.
There it is.
It's the perpetual motion machine.
Yes. We did it. We invented the perpetual motion machine.
It's the perpetual money machine.
Einstein's rolling over in his grave. This is a good idea, man. This is a great idea.
We're now the Federal Reserve
of podcasting.
You take it and you pump it right back in, and you just stay in a circle, and somehow you get more out of it than you put in. It's magic.
You know what's going to happen is, like, Tim's going to hear this over at LNPay. He's going to go, no, that's not going to happen. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. I'm not going to do that.
He's going to send us a message later, like, guys, I'll shut that down.
Well, I hope we can figure it out. This would be perfect. Now, that truly is the penny jar. That's the system of give a penny, take a penny. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, 15, so that's like two back-to-back boosted boostages, what do you call it? Boostergrams that were like 48 cents and 15 cents. Here's it. We do a cutoff where it's like, if it goes below a certain level, maybe then the whole thing goes to the tip jar.
What? It goes to what?
I'm sorry. I just offended you.
No, you triggered me. You didn't offend me. You triggered me.
It goes to the faucet, to the podcast
to the
pump.
Yes, the podcast pump. Yeah.
I'm trying to burn it into my head.
Yeah, now you'll get there. If you want to sleep in the same bed, you will.
You get on the couch, mister.
That's right.
Okay. Let's see. We got some monthly donors here.
Yes. We love thanking our month. And thank you for the Boostergrams. That was very cool. Yes. And we look forward to more.
And you can do that through PodFriend or CurioCaster. Either one. I think those are the two that support right now.
Yeah.
Alex Gates he's the official Podcasting 2.0 consultant.
Yes.
Gave us $25.
And he does code review. Painful. Painful code reviews.
Whether you want it or not.
That's correct.
He does it. And I wanted to point out here that somehow we get consultants to pay us.
It says something about the project, doesn't it?
Business schools need to research us.
Oh, business schools need to research. They need to reset.
Yeah. I mean, we're having consultants give us money.
Well, we have an ecosystem that is interestingly intertwined. Really through the Satoshi's thing is I think where it really comes together. But the whole project, I am constantly amazed at how fun it is, even with all the challenges and this personality clashes, there's all kinds of stuff. It's no different. I had a company with 700 people and this is enjoyable, man. This is enjoyable.
That sounds like a lot of work.
But it's always managing people's issues. And here, people work it out.
Yeah. David Woodfine, $3. Jason DiFilippo, he of the difficult last name, $20. Shirt. Let's see, your shirt's on the way, Jason. I got you on the list now. Keith Gibson, $50. Keith Gibson's been giving us $50 a month for a while, and he does not pass. Piped up for a t-shirt. Yeah.
Well, he should let us know because he deserves one.
Yeah, Keith, let us know. Dwayne Goldie, $8. Charles Current, $5 a month. He's on the t-shirt layaway program, I guess. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10. And Jordan Dunville, $10. Oh. That's our guys.
Yes, thank you very much to all of these fine producers of Podcasting 2.0.
Yep.
Really, really appreciated. And value for value. So if you want to partake in that, go to podcastindex.org, scroll to the bottom. All the information is right there. Or just enjoy it. If you're not getting any value from it, seems odd. Whatever you do.
If you're listening and you're not getting anything from it, you got to ask questions.
Yeah, you do have to check yourself. Yeah. Exactly. Do you have anything else on your list for this week?
Well, I've got some stuff from Dame Jennifer that I was wondering.
Oh, yes. Well, let's do that. Let's do Dame, of course. We break for Dame Jennifer.
I will try to ignore the fact that my dog is barking.
Okay.
If it becomes a problem, I will shut him up. Dame Jennifer sent me an email and saying that her and the new boyfriend had some ideas about some stuff they would like to see in apps.
Oh, okay. So, now, does she say in her note, the new boyfriend?
She does. She really talks up the boyfriend in this note. I mean, he must be an absolute.
Must be a winner.
Catch.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right.
I mean, I'm needing to get a glimpse of this guy. But
or didn't happen, Dame Jen.
Yeah, that's right. So she gives. She got a couple of things, and I thought they were really good. So she says, "Quit." I'm just going to sort of paraphrase through this because it's a lot here. So she says, "Quickly bookmarking." Favoriting a point in time to share with friends or family later. And she says, use case, I'm on a run and I hear something I definitely want to queue to share, but I'm running. I know I can already share points in time, but that takes a few clicks that I can't do on a run or a drive. And then she says, chapters don't do this for me for a couple of reasons. Many times a show doesn't have chapters or they're just not at the right points for me. I am high maintenance with a capital H and a capital M, so maybe all caps.
Well,
let me flesh it out for you.
No, sorry.
What I would love is the ability to hold the phone mid-run and quickly click a star or something similar that would save a point in time, or likely many points in time of an episode that I could then see and interact with later. I could then use those points in time post-run to generate the wonderful queue links that already exist in so many Podcasting 2.0 apps.
Excellent idea. The prior art is Hypercatcher. If you recall, yep. Hypercatcher, you can also just create a note. And it's just tapping on the screen, and it's and you can fill in, which you're not going to do since you're on the run or in the car, but you don't have to. I think it's optional, and you just click it, and then boom, you're done. And it saves that note on your app.
You know, audio editors have this built in.
I use it all the time. I have markers all the time. Sure. It's completely logical that we have that.
I think that's a great idea. You just tap or do some sort of gesture and it sets a marker, and then you can go back and later and just jump through it and listen to those markers.
And man, is there a whole nother ecosystem in markers? Because yeah. markers can in effect become crowdsourced chapters. Well, actually, the best way. Okay, I know how to do this. I know how to do this. You hit the boost button. That's it. You hit the boost button, except you just the app just has to track where you hit the boost button. So I'm expecting about 30,000 sats from Dame Jen, unless we have a separate. Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, even boosts, the way they come in with this reporting system, can be used for chapters.
This would be this would be sort of a small revenue generator for the app.
Who says small? It could, yes, yeah. It could be huge. I mean, this could be a phenomenal feature. In fact, wow. Okay, I think we've said enough. I mean, Dame Jennifer, getting the juices flowing here. Very good. Very good.
This would be like a premium feature in the app, but mm-hmm. you don't have to do an in-app purchase. You just boost.
Yeah.
And the app gets paid to track your
maybe
boost.
Maybe it's a sat, one sat.
I love it.
This is a great idea.
Okay, so her other idea was boosting to unlock additional or more in-depth content. She says, firstly, I know Adam is not a super fan of exclusive content to subscribers, etc. And she says, YouTube is starting to surface links. This is where I thought it got interesting. YouTube starting to surface links out at points and times of videos. I have no idea if this is their algo or generated by the channel owner. Mm-hmm. So the idea is basically that says use case. I'm listening to a segment of a podcast and want to go down a rabbit hole as mentioned by the podcaster. I get notified that such a hole exists at that moment by the host. And so like it surfaces a link or something, maybe in a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a link there. And then the host can say, well, you know, you've got, if you want to dig deeper on this topic, here's a, you know, click the link in the
right
on the screen.
So we essentially have that.
Yes.
With chapters.
But then she's envisioning some way of like
loading another podcast.
The link being a boost to sort of unlock it. So like you're almost paying for the podcaster's research. Oh,
okay. Are you ready? It's called the paywall.
Yeah.
And guess who makes them?
LMP.
Yes. Great idea. Another great idea. Holy crap. You send a boost
for access to the rabbit hole.
We need a lot more women in our group, ma'am.
Yes, we do.
And I'm proud to say women think differently from men, and this is a prime example. Great idea. I would have never come up with that, but when the minute I hear that, I'm like, yeah, kind of like Sphinx has the you can pay for a message to appear.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah. So there would just be a paywall. The button would, you know, right in the chapter. You can author, I think, right into the chapter somehow. Magic, it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Brian of London can do it in Hive.
Yeah,
and Hive. We'll have a bridge from Hive. Yeah. Wait, the day that I can buy lightning with Hive will be the day. Anyway, so, and then it just says, you know, unlock, you know, go down the rabbit hole, 5 Satoshis. You click on it, and then mm-hmm. boom, it goes down the rabbit hole, does whatever is supposed to happen. Great idea.
You are paying that podcaster for their research. right?
Yeah. And that URL probably can't be scraped very easily.
Yeah, I don't know. That's for Brian to figure out.
we are bad today, man. Yeah. Ragging on everybody.
I think those are great ideas.
These are fantastic ideas.
I mean, we're not against paywalls.
No, this is a perfect way of doing it. I'm interested in that. That's real. That's a great idea. You're like, you want my address? Look at the chapter right now. You can come visit me. It costs you 1 million satoshis to read my address.
That's not very much. You should rethink that. You should raise that. I'm trying to find. I have. Okay, we'll have to talk about this next one. Oh, here it is. I've got a
great idea. I got to write these down. So it's the.
Okay, I pulled this out of the stack, and we will talk about this. We can talk about this next week because I want to go over this idea I had for universal paywall stuff in the namespace.
Okay.
But it's too much, and I get to refamiliarize myself with it. This is a conversation that I had with Tom and Kevin from Buzzsprout about how to do universal subscriptions. Mm-hmm. So it would be like Apple, Spotify, blah, 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 all these siloed subscription services, but mm-hmm. it would be through the namespace. And I think we can do it. So, but this fits in with the paywall idea. So we could just take the broader idea of how to do the universal subscriptions and just boil them down into like a chapter.
Can we fold that into the fast follow concept that it's all in a QR?
I can't see why not.
Okay. I'm just putting it in your head. I think
it would fit perfectly.
Yeah. So a universal. Ugh. Wow. This is accelerating. Can you feel it?
Yeah. We just solved world peace.
And it's not even 3 o'clock yet. We've got some drinking to do.
Seriously. All right. That's.
Well, thank you, Dame Jennifer. Dame Jennifer and the new boyfriend. Keep it up.
No, well, she just calls him the boyfriend.
Oh, the boyfriend. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have never known her with a boyfriend. So he can't be new.
She said he's a dude named Ben.
Yes. I think he's also he was aware of No Agenda. Maybe he's a No Agenda producer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you. The dude named boyfriend.
I think they met at a meetup, actually. I could be wrong.
There you go.
How cool would that be?
That would be a good story.
Yeah. First child, Adam.
they got to get to like kid four before they get to Dave, though. I'm not even in the top three.
But we're both biblical figures, you know. You can do true. The whole thing. It's great.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you all very much. That's very great contributions. Good notes. Good ideas. And this is what a board meeting should be. Very cool. Very, very cool.
Anything I got left is probably just good for next week.
What is this rap song that I did not play yet?
that is for the end of the show.
Well, brother. I think it's one of the longest shows ever.
That's our buddy Kyle Hebert from Louisiana, who's who's the voice actor. He said he got wild hair.
Subatomic Boombox from, what is it?
Intergalactic Boombox.
Intergalactic Boombox. Subatomic Boombox.
That's a good name, though. I like Subatomic Boombox.
Good band name.
Yeah. So he said he got a wild hair and got inspired and did an end of show mix for us.
All right, here we go. It does have a title. It says, it's End of Show Mix PC2O Rap Song Gits and Shiggles. Okay.
Hello, I'm Gits, and this is my partner Shiggles.
Hello, and we're here to play our new single, Podcasting 2.0 is the Future, so quit living in the past, you filthy git.
That's a little long.
It's a work in progress.
Okay, so anyway, I'm on the mic, and I'm dropping them fat beats. Shiggles, what are you going to do?
I'm playing the theremin.
Okay, go. Yo! I love Podcasting 2.0. Chapters, images, links, and more. It's got features to make you say, whoa, what you waiting for?
I don't know.
chapters, transcripts, images, links, stream micropayments to the podcast, and send Satoshis in real time over the Lightning Network using a compatible Podcasting 2.0 app. Just go to newpodcastapps.com. That's newpodcastapps.com. And for more info, go to podcastindex.org.
Boost! Wow. Wow. Fantastic. See, now I can see, I'm just suggesting Dame Jennifer could do a great little animated video to go with these two guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
Git and Shiggles. Very nice. Very, very nice. That's cool, man. Thank you.
Holy crap. Thank you, Kyle. That guy's so awesome. That's all I got, man.
Well, of course, there's lots to talk about, lots going on, and we'll just have to do another board meeting next week. And
We got Stephen B coming on.
Yep. Cool.
Talk about CurioCast.
By this time next week, Stephen B will have already implemented the all those pieces, including the fast follow and the great idea there for concealed content.
Concealed content. I like that.
We'll be here next week. Thanks, Dave. Have a great weekend, brother.
All right. See you, man.
We'll see you all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
Boost.
Go!